meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, and good morning, good evening, good night for people participating and the one who will listen later. It's an additional, sorry, Sébastien Machelet speaking, it's an additional call of the ICANN Ombuds Office sub-team of the Workstream 2 of the CCWT on accountability for ICANN. And we have this specific call to have an exchange with the team selected by ICANN to fulfill the review of the ICANN Ombuds Office and to help us with the work of the sub-team. I will try to go to some slide I have prepared for this meeting, and I have put some questions there, but of course it's just some questions to start the discussion and not at all to prevent any other participant to ask a question, of course. And Deborah, you have question on my presentation, don't wait if you want to ask a question during the presentation. And if others want to add something at the same time, feel free to do it. Thank you. We will take the roll call by the Adobe Connect, and I hope that Phil Curry will join us shortly, and if we any join us, please, if someone knows that he's joining, it would be great. Thank you. And this additional call is on the 8th of March, that's a very interesting and important date for everybody, but especially for the women who participate in this call, and thank you for taking some time out of this day for us and this topic. And we are the sub-team ICANN Ombuds Office, and I will try to go to the agenda. The agenda will be to have this meeting with Cameron Rive, SC, member of the team who will do the review, and the ICANN Ombuds Office sub-team. Some presentation. I have started to list some useful documents, but of course it's not a full list and final list. And we may want to discuss the next meeting. It will be hopefully a face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen, the 11th of March. And any other business. If I forget something with the agenda, please, it's the right time to add, if you wish, to add some items now. If not, I will go to the first part. It's this meeting between Cameron Ralph and the ICANN Ombuds Office sub-team. And I wanted to start by the
Hello, it's Phil Curry here. I do apologize for my late arrival. It held up on the way back to the office.
That's okay. Welcome, Phil Curry. It's Sébastien Bachelet speaking. And I suggest that during the course of the presentation, the other will have the opportunity to say a few words about themselves. I am the rapporteur of this ICANN Ombuds Office sub-team. And are you able to see the Adobe Connect room? Or you are just on the call, Phil?
I'm just on the call.
Okay. Then I will repeat quickly and go to the right slide for what is the agenda for today. It's, of course, to meet with you and Deborah, with some of the participants of the ICANN Ombuds Office sub-team. We'll do a short presentation, and then we will have some question and answer. I have one slide about start of list about useful documents. It will be good for you to read and discuss about the next meeting with you. Now, I want to start with the scope of work of the ICANN Ombuds sub-team, and it's coming from the first part of the work of the cross-committee working group on ICANN accountability, and it was written like that. The ombudsman can perform a critical role in ensuring that ICANN is transparent and accountable, preventing and resolving disputes, supporting consensus development, and protecting bottom-up multi-stakeholder decision-making at ICANN. ICANN Office of Ombudsman must have a clear charter that reflects, supports, and respects ICANN's mission, commitment, and core values, and must have sufficient authority and independence to ensure that it can perform these important roles effectively. As part of Workstream 2, it's what we are doing now, the cross-committee working group on accountability will evaluate the current ombudsman charter and operation against industry best practices and recommend any change is necessary to ensure that the ICANN Ombuds has the tool, independence, and authority needed to be an effective voice for ICANN stakeholders. That was under the title of Considering Enhancements to the Ombudsman Role and Function. And part of your mission, I guess, Phil and Deborah, is to help us with this evaluation of the current ombudsman office work and what can be done through this work stream too. Here you have the list of the participants. I will not read. I'm sorry. I will, Sebastian, actually speaking again, I will not read the list of participants, but when you will look to the slide, it shows that there is 23 active participants, and I will say, if you take a real participant, I will say we are a handful participants, and we have a list of the observers with 22. And we have board liaison, Asha with the call, and Mike Silver, who is a backup, not on the call, I guess, and one of the co-chair of the CCWG on accountability is following us, it's Matthew. We will have the opportunity to meet him and some other participants in Copenhagen. One of the reasons I show that is that we are very few people really engaged in this work, and the one who participate today are really the one who are the more active in our work. During this work, the work stream 2 of ICANN accountability was split into 9 subgroups and 10 items. And those subgroups have some dependency with our work. We have already tried to figure out what are these requests from the other subgroup to be added to the work of the ombuds. And just to be sure, the 10 like them, 9 subgroup and 1 additional. It's diversity, human rights, jurisdiction, supporting organization and advisory committee accountability, staff accountability, transparency, review of CEP, it will not come like that, it's with CEP, but it will come later. Guidelines for good faith conduct, and IRP phase 2, and one of the overarching item is AT-32, that's accountability, transparency, review team number 2. And you would see during Copenhagen, we will discuss about the number 3. And why it is important for us, because one of the reasons of this review and of your participation, Phil and Deborah, it's because it was one of the requests of AT-32 and one of the requests of our subgroup works, and we put that together, and it's under our responsibility, and with the help of some staff, we are following the AT-32. And I am sorry if I try not to use too much acronym, but it's ICANN life. I hope that you will get in the one I did, I will not be able to spell out. And I suggest that if you agree, you present your organization. I have put the slide was given to us by the staff, but you can use whatever material you want or as you want, and then we will have some exchange and question and answer, and it will give the opportunity to the other participants of the subgroup to present themselves if they wish so. Phil, Deborah, if you have first, if you have questions on my presentation, but more importantly, if you can give some information about your organization and yourself, would be great. I have a second slide with your summary of your summary, and whichever slide you want me to use, or if you have other material, you are welcome. Deborah, I'll feel floor is yours.
Deborah, are you happy to lead off at the?
Oh. Well, Phil and I have been working together for about 15 years or so, and have had a specialist interest in ombudsman schemes for that throughout that period. We've both got a regulatory background, and I think I was looking through the slides of your last meeting, and I think you saw that we've both got a background at the Australian Securities and Investments Commission. So we're used to that sort of public policy type perspective of things, and have in the time since leaving the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, we have worked extensively with ombudsman schemes in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, in a range of sectors, in a lot of schemes in the financial services area, but also schemes in telecommunications, schemes dealing with legal disputes in relation to lawyers, public transport. What have I missed, Phil? Energy and water. So there's quite a range of ombudsman schemes. I suppose what we've taken away from that is that all ombudsman schemes adhere to some fundamental principles of the way in which they try and do things. I mean, fairness is incredibly important. Accessibility, efficiency and effectiveness, those sorts of principles you find in all, you find schemes in all different sectors trying to adhere to those principles. But how those principles work out in the sort of detailed operation of ombudsman schemes does vary enormously and has to vary. It does depend upon the context, the nature of the dispute, you know, lots of factors. And so I suppose we pride ourselves on really trying to understand the context very well, you know, the particular nature of the complaints that are being made and the types of complainants and the needs of you know, to provide a good service to those complainants. You know, we don't just think it's one size fits all, but you roll out the same model for all ombudsman schemes. We've also, you know, worked extensively in government, in governance and change management and regulatory areas. So that they're sort of the interests that we've pursued. Phil knows more about ICANN, having worked with OUTA, if I got his name right, Phil, with the Australian Domain Name Authority. I'm much newer to all of this, but, you know, really looking forward to learning about ICANN, and we've been reading madly the information sent to us. We've been provided with links to the work of the Workstream 2 and also the subgroups, as well as the ombudsman material. So that's all been tremendously interesting. And we're looking forward to meeting you in person in Copenhagen. I think that it's a terrific opportunity to use the conference as a way of engaging much more directly with the large number of stakeholders for this particular project.
But it's Phil here. Look, I've nothing in particular to add to that, but I think we'd be happy to take any questions just about us, so we help direct our input to where you would like to expand your knowledge of what we can offer.
Okay, thank you, Deborah and Phil. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. I will give the floor soon to my colleague, but I have put some questions. I will read those questions and then I will ask my colleague if they want to come and speak. And I saw that I have written bad English, and I'm sorry about that. As a matter of introduction about that, you need really to be careful. I know that I am not an English speaker first language, but I always had some trouble, even if I travel sometime to Australia, to understand Australian accent, and I am sure that I am not the only one in ICANN. And it's one thing you need to have in your head, that you have to speak to very diverse audience with different level of understanding of English and of understanding of various accents or even the various English languages, and that's important. I know that you will not have any trouble to exchange with Cheryl, but maybe with some other like me, you need to make some more effort than you do usually. In your work, we are very. It's very important that you be understandable by a large part, if not all the participants and all the people you interpret. It's important, and you have to know that part of the meeting are interpreted, and it's also important to know that when we get this opportunity, we use this tool, and it's a way to interact with you. Maybe will be provided through the course of this different exchange during the week. I have put three questions. I will read the three one, like that you will have some idea about, especially for Phil, we don't see the slide. I have put the following question. Your understanding of the mission, your vision of the timeline, and how do you want to interact with us? And that was my three questions from yesterday when I start, when I have done this presentation. And of course, you will have also the opportunity to ask us any question. But before you answer this question, I would like to ask my colleague or staff if they wish to add something before the Q&A, or if they have, if they want to have a specific question before the one I put on the table, please feel free to talk now. Okay. Asha Amrajani, please go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sebastian. So this is Asha Hemrajani for the record. I'm on the board of directors for ICANN. I do have some questions, but since you asked if we do, if we had any, I do have some, but I would like to hear Phil and Deborah address the three questions you asked first, and then I'd be happy to come with my questions after that. I think that would be more appropriate flow of order. Thank you.
Thank you, Asha. Any other who wants to say something now? If not, I give back the floor to Phil and Deborah, and if you can now wait a second. I have Fazanet Badik who wants to speak. Go ahead, Fazanet.
Thank you, Sebastian. Fazanet Badik speaking. So my question would be if they have been briefed on the ICANN structure and the community and the stakeholder groups, and if they need any further information. Thank you.
Thank you. Tazi, maybe you can say a few words about you, just to take this opportunity that you are taking the floor, where you fit within this SOAC, Sporting Organization Advisory Committee of ICANN?
Sure, Sebastian. So I'm the chair of the non-commercial users constituency, which is a part of the non-commercial stakeholder group. And that stakeholder group is a part of the generic name supporting organization. It is very complicated, but so we are one of the, we are part of one of the supporting organizations at ICANN, and ICANN has advisory committees as well. I'm sure, if you need more information, I believe that all the chairs are willing to discuss with you briefly how the ICANN works, but it's quite overwhelming. But well, I'm sure you can get a grab of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I guess I will give back the floor to Phil and Deborah, and feel free to answer the question we pose the floor you have in front of you, or in the way you want, and the time you want. Please, if you want me to repeat the question, I can. If you want me, go ahead. It's up to you.
I think I managed to get the questions down. And so I'll begin by saying my understanding or our understanding of the task. And please, if I speak too quickly, let me know. We had a meeting yesterday by phone and understand from that there are two aspects of this task and both are very important. One is to look at what the Ombudsman is currently doing and how well it is doing that, and to provide our recommendations in light of the best practice that we have seen at other Ombudsman schemes. And the other aspect of the task as we understand, is to look at the various suggestions that have been made for additional functions for the Ombudsman's Office, and to evaluate those and provide our recommendations, taking into account factors such as whether that will or how they will, new functions will fit with the Ombudsman's existing responsibilities, and whether new functions are appropriate, or the proposed new functions are appropriate for an Ombudsman's Office, and issues of duplication and so on. So we have begun some reading and are starting to understand some of the proposals for an expanded scope, and understand that Workstream 2 has already identified a new tranche of work for the Ombudsman's Office. Is there anything more that you want to say, Phil, about the task as we understand it at the moment?
No, only just to say that at this stage of any project like this, we're still probably, you know, have a theoretical understanding of what the balance is between those sort of two broad groupings of objectives, and we're, you know, expecting the depth interview process in Copenhagen to really help us flesh that out and understand it in sort of more detail, just what's inside each of those two groups of objectives, and, you know, what will work to, I suppose, provide compelling case for any change to either of those. One of the questions we'll be asking in our interviews will be around getting people's sense of the balance between those two, and whether there is a clear understanding of future challenges that should be driving any change to the Ombudsman function, that sort of thing, to get a sort of sense from people about the balance.
Thank you very much for this answer to this first question. Maybe we will make a stop here and ask the participants if they wish to add question about the scope of the mission. Now maybe, Asha, you have some questions who are linked with that. If not, we will wait for later. Then I have some questions, but I will suggest that we will come back on that later. Maybe you can give us some inputs about the second question, your vision of the timeline, and if you feel comfortable with what was request from you about the timeline.
Okay,
thank you.
Sure, I might take this one, Deborah. The agreed timeline in the RFP that we've worked on is really to have a draft report by the end of March, and sort of finalised report by middle of April. We've, as always in these projects, the opportunity to, you know, things have changed. So the opportunity to do in-depth interviews in Copenhagen has really changed the order in which we'd like to do this. So we will do the depth interviews first, and then follow that up, again, subject to the issues that come up, with a online survey to capture, see if we can reach out to a broader audience, and possibly get answers to specific questions. I think, as I understand, those dates were set to fit in with other ICANN activities. Consultants always want more time. We can always do a better job with more time. But I think that's a tight time frame, but at this stage, we think we can deliver you know, meaningful reports on the issues that have been put to us in that timeline. In the course of our discussions, it may be that we want to revisit and ask for some flexibility, but right now we have no grounds for that. We're happy to proceed on the current timeline.
Thank you, Phil. That's an important point, and I guess we as a sub-team and we as a workstream too, it will be one of the topics about what will be the timeline and if anything will change. But for the moment, it's where we stand with the timeline. Thank you. We'll try to fit within this timeline. And my last question was, how do you want to interact with us? Not so much during the face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen, but do you want us to set up specific meeting and as the time is very short, do you want to participate to our weekly call and interact with us at that moment? Do you want something else? Of course, mail still available, but you may have other wish to interact with us. Please let us know. Phil or Deborah?
I suspect that it would be best if we could try and participate in your weekly meetings to try and avoid the need for an additional meeting, but speaking to you weekly after we get back from Copenhagen would probably really help us. We can talk to you about times, and I know that the different timings in Australia and other parts of the world might make that difficult on occasions, but we can try for that if that's possible.
Okay, thank you, Deborah. I think, Asha, it's a good time if you wish to add questions, and then if others want to do the same, feel free to raise your hand in the Zoom. Asha, may I give you the floor?
Yes, thank you very much, Sebastian. So, once again, my name is Asha Hemrajani. I'm on the ICANN board, and I'm also the board liaison to this ombudsman subgroup in Workstream 2. And so thank you, Phil and Deborah, for addressing Sebastian's questions, and I thought it would be appropriate for me to come in after you had spoken to those three very basic and fundamental things we need to get clear. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your actual work methodology. So the first area is you mentioned you've worked on, reviewed other ombuds schemes. So I have about four or five questions. What I'll do is perhaps I'll list them all out, and then if Deborah and Phil, you could just jot them down. And then I'll let you, maybe that would be better if you address all of them at once. The first question I had was about, you mentioned you had reviewed other ombuds schemes, and I think that I read somewhere about 16 different ombuds schemes that you have looked at. So I'm very curious to know what areas of reform have you proposed before? So not specifics, really, because we don't have the time to go through all of that in this call, but maybe some general areas of reform that you have proposed in the past. And in relation to that question, what do you look out for when you decide on proposing what areas to reform? So you mentioned sending out surveys and interviewing people. I'd like to understand a little bit more about that methodology. How do you select who gets interviewed? How do you select what you ask? see, Farzan has asked the same question in the chat, so I really agree with that question, Farzan. I had the same thought in mind. So how do you decide what to look out for when you propose areas of reform? And my third question is, have you worked on cases where you have proposed that the ombuds function should be expanded? As we are heading in this direction for ICANN. So those are the three big areas I wish to ask. Thank you. I'll stop here.
Okay, sure. So, do you want me to start, Deborah?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I should say that normally when we do a review of an ombuds scheme, it's usually over a longer period of time. So there's a certain amount of compression to our usual methodology here. During this next few days in our depth interviews, we'll be attempting to sort of do perhaps two stages of our normal methodology. And the first is really to understand what exactly the Ombudsman at ICANN is achieving and the functions that people are expecting of it, you know, as it sits now. We would normally map that model, if you like, back to an international standard or a domestic standard for external dispute resolution. And from that, we would develop a model of what's unique about this ombudsman service. So what are the functions that this ombudsman does that are normal, expected functions? What are the unique functions that are part of this environment? What are the things that this ombudsman doesn't do that, you know, in a generic sense people might expect from an ombudsman? That will give us a framework to be able to start to answer the question about whether the ombudsman is meeting the need and whether it's reasonable. So there are times when stakeholders will have an expectation that's unrealistic, and the only real response in that space is an expectation management strategy, you know, in communication. We would also look in that to say, is there reasonable, for example, against the standard? Can people easily access the ombudsman scheme? Are people aware of it? Is it comparatively seamless to be able to take a matter to the ombudsman? And we've made recommendations in the past to make the ombudsman more visible, to remove obstacles to people putting a complaint to an ombudsman scheme. You know, for example, in some sectors, a simple thing like requiring all complaints to be in writing can be quite a substantive obstacle to people participating and using the scheme. In other cases, we've recommended more powers for an ombudsman because the ombudsman isn't meeting stakeholder perception or expectation because they're unable to have access, for example, to decision makers or to change a decision themselves or to award compensation, again, depending on the type of ombudsman function that it is. But we would always try and frame all of those recommendations as fitting into what's a reasonable and fair model for the way that particular ombudsman should operate. We think at this early stage that the ombudsman at ICANN is a combination of an internal ombudsman and an independent external ombudsman in the way that it functions, but we won't really know that until we've had a chance to really understand the nature of the complaints that come, how they're dealt with, and what stakeholders think of them sort of functioning. So there's some examples of the changes, the sort of reforms that we've made as a recommendation. Typically in an ombudsman review, it's a very much a multi-stakeholder environment, and it's pretty critical in making any recommendations for change that every sort of major group of stakeholders, that their perspective is taken into account in the recommendations, and that they feel that their view was put forward and considered and then a recommendation made in full light of everyone's view, which tends to make our reports a little bit longer, but we've found it's essential to properly rehearse the issues before you make recommendations in there. I'll stop there. I'm at risk of boring everyone. Did I miss anything in that, Deborah?
I suppose the thing I would add is that we find that often there are fine issues of balance. So, for example, ombudsman decisions have to be fair, but they also have to be timely, and it has to be an informal process, not like a long, drawn-out sort of court process. And so there's a bit of a balance that has to be drawn there, and, you know, and where exactly you draw the balance differs, you know, from one scheme to another. But often it's looking at issues in combination that's important.
Sometimes, I should, just if I may add two more things. The in terms of an expanded ombudsman function, probably one of the common expansions to an ombudsman function that we've recommended has been to remove an exclusion, to allow a broader population to access the ombudsman scheme, and that might be by perhaps increasing a monetary limit or including a different class of complaint into the ombudsman's powers. One additional function we have recommended in one or two cases has been to allow the ombudsman to make recommendations on systemic matters. So not just an individual's case, but if the ombudsman discovers a process or a rule or a way things are done that is affecting a large number of stakeholders, that the ombudsman should have power to make recommendations about those. So that's some illustration. To go back to the first question about interviews, we at this point we rely on the advice from the organisation. Usually we ask for a stakeholder map and work from there to make sure that our interviews are covering all the key stakeholder areas, because we invariably find that if we aren't getting to people at the beginning, then at the end of the process it won't have credibility and there won't be support for recommendations. So we begin with the advice of the staff or a group like this, and then take recommendations from people as we go as to who we should be talking to, or if we were going to survey who we would send to. I'll stop there.
Thank you, Phil and Deborah. Fazi, do you want to speak out your question, or you do want me to read them? I prefer if you can speak to allow you to do it. Please go ahead, Fazil.
Thank you, Seth. Fazil Abadi speaking. So I think Phil and Deborah cannot read what I'm writing in the chat. So this is my personal opinion. I think that for the past at least like how many years, ICANN has been the pioneer for online dispute resolution and online ombudsman, and a lot of work has been done as to make it more efficient and accessible. Even the one of the former ombudsman wrote his thesis about online dispute resolution. So I'd say that efficiency, cost effectiveness, all these sort of values are kind of like they have been discussed at length. You will see that. I think what is really important for the ombuds office to be looked at, the angles are the independence and how it interacts with the governance structure of ICANN, which is very special, and I really like that Deborah mentioned that one size doesn't fit all. So I think the evaluation has to consider this very special nature of ICANN organization, ICANN community, how we interact, and what we actually do. So that's one thing. And the other thing that I had a sorry, I'm talking too much, but so I think that it's okay if you just, as you go on, you take on interviewees and interview them. But I don't think there is any harm in, Sebastian, correct me if I'm wrong, but we could ask the community if they, I mean, of course, not all of everyone that wants to can have a survey or an interview, but we could potentially ask the community that there is this opportunity to be interviewed and surveyed with the question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bazi. Very useful inputs. As we have 8 minutes to the top of the hour, I will stop here the question and answer.
Sorry, Sebastian.
Okay. Yes. Go, Asha.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting. I'm not able to get my hand up on Adobe for some reason. Can I just can I squeeze in one more question if we have time?
We don't have really time, but yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, very, very quick one. First of all, thanks, Phil and Deborah, for that pretty comprehensive answer. You've addressed most of my questions. And I think we can definitely continue this discussion in Copenhagen. I just wanted to ask you one last question about, in terms of what you have proposed before with your other clients, in terms of mediation, is that something you look at when you're looking at the function of the ombuds? Have you proposed that mediation be included in or excluded from the function and role of an ombuds? Thank you.
We've certainly reviewed schemes that do already have a mediation function as part of the suite of alternative dispute resolution strategies that they use. So, you know, we've got a reasonable amount of experience around some of the challenges of that and how that perhaps fits in, you know, if the mediation isn't successful, how that fits into an arbitration, you know, a formal decision-making model if the dispute continues on in that way. I don't think off the top of my head that we've recommended mediation in a scheme that doesn't already do some of that. Mostly, you know, where we have seen mediation occur, it's been appropriate, and where it hasn't been part of the suite of possibilities, there've been smaller schemes where perhaps it wouldn't be easy to, and the nature of the scheme made it less appropriate as a tool to resolve disputes.
We have recommended in some cases expansion of the use of mediation where we thought a scheme had too tight a criteria for use of mediation. So for us, it's always about the right mix of techniques.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have 5 minutes to go. I need to say that we don't have the current ombuds, not because he was not willing to participate to this call, but because he's on a plane from Canada to Denmark. But you will have the opportunity to meet with him in Copenhagen, and that will be an important part, and we have to see how everything can fit well together. Because I'm sure that there will be some questions raised around that and how to interact with him and his duty. And thank you for those questions and for all those answers. Unfortunately, we don't have time to ask you to ask us questions, but I would like to suggest that you prepare some of your questions, and we do that during our face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen, and we will be very happy to discuss with you during this face-to-face meeting, but also during the course of the ICANN meeting in Copenhagen. Next topic was to start a discussion about document. As I heard, you have already received a lot, some and a lot of documents, and but I wanted to be sure about three documents and maybe a fourth, it's not on my slide. We have long time ago start a draft report on our subgroup to have somewhere where we have the different exchange and question, and I stopped to do any announcement of this document in last October, and it's a long time ago, but it's still a document that could be useful to go through. I don't know if you get it yet, but we will have to see with staff how we can be sure you get it. We have two overarching discussion and topic for our face-to-face meeting on Friday with the Workstream 2 people. One is about draft glossary to know how we call each part of ICANN and the whole ICANN, and that's, I guess, a useful document to see that we are still in the discussion about that. And we will also discuss how to organize the various work streams to request for new mechanisms to increase ICANN accountability. And yes, one part could be to go to the Ombuds office, but it could go to some other places. And that's an important discussion to have, and an important element for you to have to keep in mind. And the document I am referring to, I am the author of, but it's a draft document, nothing else. And we will see the discussion going on during the meeting in Copenhagen. I will see with staff how we can be sure that you have it. But my last idea was if we have any already done review of the Ombuds function within ICANN previously, it may be useful to have them. I have not checked that, and I don't. And as it will be the time I have to rush, sorry about that. And that's our document, main item of the document, but you will see the document itself. And the last two slides, it's, we will get a face-to-face meeting Saturday, 11th of March, in Copenhagen. I don't know if we have yet finalized the time, but as soon as it's done, please send that to the group. I hope it will be feasible for everybody, at least for a lot of the participants, to be there. It will be a useful meeting. I hope that it will not be too short, but in the same time not too long. And maybe we can target 1.5 hour if it's possible, if not 1 hour. And the last point that no need for. It's just to let you know that the next call are scheduled with different time set and different date, usually on Monday, when Monday it's not a day open for work for staff, it's on Tuesday. I guess it's the end of my presentation, and I am sorry to rush, but it's our end of the call. Any last issue you want to raise before we wrap up? And if not, sorry for the short time, but we will see you and see us in Copenhagen for most of us. Some will not be able to travel, and I am thinking about housing to travel. That's pity. And we will try to keep you informed during this meeting. And thank you for your participation. And I must adjourn this call and see you in Copenhagen. Safe travels for everyone traveling.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.